James Herbert from CBS Sports joins us. James, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
James, I know you've covered a lot of sports. If Steph Curry isn't the most entertaining athlete right now, who is?
I don't have an answer for that. I think it is Steph Curry. I think that's the easy answer. It's the obvious answer. I think it's funny watching just different people trying to come up with ways to talk about Stephen Curry right now, because at a certain point when you're watching greatness like this and when you're watching him just kind of top himself every night and the Warriors blow teams out, you kind of run out of superlatives. And we have, you know, Kevin Garnett saying he's just another thing, like Michael Jordan was another thing, just separate from any other player. Like that's one way to do it, is talk about historical comparisons. A lot of people are referencing just the crazy numbers that he's put up. There hasn't really been anybody that has started the season like this. I think people are kind of unsure of what to do, because if you ever stand next to Stephen Curry, he kind of seems just like a regular guy, but he is absolutely dominating everybody in the NBA right now. And it's, to me, that's the best show in sports. To me, he's been by far the best player in the league so far this year. And to me, he's actually improved on what he did last year, where he's the MVP. So I'm not really sure how to praise him any more than I just did. But I think that's a common problem for anyone that's talking about the NBA right now.
When the Warriors won last year, and there's a lot, and there still is talk, James, though people say jump shooting teams can't win championships. Well, the Golden State Warriors did win the championship last year, and they've rattled off 10 straight wins to start the season. Are they playing with a chip on their shoulder this season?
Yeah, I think they are. And, I mean, the jump shooting teams talk, that really honestly should have died down a few years ago. I mean, it's not just the Warriors. The last five NBA champions have all been jump shooting teams. The Warriors, I think what they did was there was kind of a new formula. Their offense was a lot, like, very similar to some of the other pace and space teams that we've seen recently, very similar to what the Phoenix Suns did with Steve Nash. But what they did was they had this incredible defense as well. They had the best defense in the league last year. And there's never been a team that has run like them, that has played the kind of defense that they played. It's almost impossible. And yeah, I think they're going into the season, there was a lot of talk about, you know, the Houston Rockets added Ty Lawson, the San Antonio Spurs added LaMarcus Aldridge, the Oklahoma City Thunder are healthy again. And the Warriors weren't seen as a consensus favorite. And I think they thought that they should have been. And then there were quotes directly from Steph saying that that was funny, and Draymond Green saying they were disrespected. And that is absolutely something that they have taken on as part of their identity. I think that's something that they've used to motivate themselves, and I think that's a big part of how they've been able to avoid the championship hangover that you see a lot of title teams start this season with. I think everybody knew they were a great team, but they weren't necessarily the trendy pick to win the title coming into the year.
James Herbert joins us from CBS Sports talking NBA. I think we're in agreement Golden State's the best team in the West. They haven't even lost a game yet. If Golden State's top in the West, who's number two in the Western Conference?
Oh, that's a really tough question to answer right now. I think, to me, the Thunder, even though they've had some, you know, some struggles integrating the new system and getting everybody going this year, I think, to me, they, just because of the sheer talent on the roster, they should be considered the top threat to the Warriors. The Spurs are right there, obviously. It's crazy how people discount them sometimes, and the Clippers are right there, too. I think it's a really good Western Conference, but to me, if you look at that Thunder team and you take into account that they should probably gel a bit more as the season goes on, as they get used to Billy Donovan's system, I think they have to be considered the top challenger, with the Spurs just a hair behind them.
James Herbert from CBS Sports joins James. And the thing is, the San Antonio Spurs, it doesn't matter what year, you know, they went out and they got Aldridge, and they're, you know, they got the second best record right now in the West at 6-2. And they're a team you can't overlook at all. Their experience, obviously, I know now Golden State's won, but man, I still wouldn't want to face the Spurs early in the postseason.
No, I mean, San Antonio is going to be a great team. They already are. I've been really impressed with how Manu Ginobili has looked this season, for example. And we saw kind of a beaten-up version of him toward the end of last year and in the first round where they lost to the Clippers. But I think he had a really good summer. He didn't play for his national team for the first time in a while, and that really paid off. I think the Spurs are a little bit of a different team than they were last year, but they're trying to play the same way. LaMarcus Aldridge hasn't been putting up huge numbers, but I think he's fitting in okay. And as the season goes on, they're going to figure out exactly how they want to, you know, kind of distribute the touches and the shots throughout the game. And I think you'll see Aldridge become more similar to the kind of player that he was in Portland. But for now, he's deferring a lot. Kawhi Leonard is being really, really aggressive on offense. And I think that's what they really wanted to see from him this year. So I'm not worried about the Spurs. I think the rest of the league is probably going to fear them just as much as they always do once we get to the playoffs.
What do you make of the Toronto Raptors? Are they a legitimate contender in the East? Would you have them the second best or third best team, maybe behind Cleveland? Where do you rank them?
When I did my preseason projections, I think I had them third behind Cleveland and the Bulls. The Bulls have been up and down to start the season, but honestly, the East has been just kind of jumbled up so far early in the year, and I think it's going to take a little bit of time to kind of separate who is for real and who isn't in the East. A lot of these like sort of middle of the pack teams, like even the Wizards, there's this big storyline about how they were going to push the tempo and Bradley Beal was going to break out, and Beal has been great, but they just kind of haven't been playing defense. They haven't been rebounding. So we'll see on a lot of these things. I think the Raptors weren't as good as they looked when they started out 5-0, and they weren't as bad as they looked in some of the losses since. They are a really different team when DeMarre Carroll is not on the court. I thought that was an absolutely great addition for them over the summer, not just because of his lockdown defense and the fact that he can actually be a guy that you can put on a Kevin Durant or a LeBron James and say you're taking him one-on-one, but also for the fact that on offense he's a really, really good shooter and he moves the ball. And then that's what the Raptors wanted to do this year, is they wanted to have an offense that was more sustainable against good defense, and you need guys like Carroll, really good role players, to do that. And he's been out with plantar fasciitis, and I think it's been evident on both sides of the floor that he's really important to them. And once he gets back, and once Terrence Ross gets back from this ligament injury in his thumb, then I think they'll look a lot better. But for now, they're having to really adjust to some weird situations with their lineups. I mean, I didn't think that we'd be seeing Anthony Bennett trying to guard Carmelo Anthony, but we saw that the other night.
We're joined by James Herbert from CBS Sports talking NBA. The Raptors played on Wednesday night. They got a win, and Luis Scola scored 21 points for the Raptors. How big was it for Scola and some of these role players to have big games?
Yeah, I mean, he's ended up playing a really big role for this team. I think when they signed him, a lot of people thought that Scola would be a backup to Patrick Patterson, but even though Dwayne Casey never wanted to really frame it like a training camp battle, he just wanted to take the guy who fit best with their roster. I think you can say that Scola won that training camp battle, and he really impressed the team in the preseason. And he was building off a strong offseason playing for Argentina. He was a MVP of the FIBA Americas, and I think he's a good role player. I think it was good for him to have that game. You're even seeing him take a couple of threes now, which he talked about today at shoot-around. And yeah, he's a smart veteran. He's a good role player. And I think ideally you'd have Patrick Patterson play to his full potential and you'd ride Patterson a little bit more. But I think with the way that Patterson's been struggling with his shot, it's been really important that they've been able to get some production out of Scola.
I want to go back to the Western Conference just for one quick one, James. The Sacramento Kings are a mess, for lack of a better term. They're 2-7. Last week, Rajon Rondo played two games where he played all 48 minutes. Now, George Karl is not a dumb man. He's been in this league for a long time. What's going on with the Sacramento Kings right now?
Yeah, he played two for 48, and then the game before that, he played 44 minutes. So he has a huge workload. He ended up getting two triple-doubles in there, and I applaud him for the way that he's manage the team, and he's in a very difficult situation too. I mean, it's not just him. Most of the rotation is different from last year. They're running a new system with George Karl, and I think it's very difficult to try to get these guys on the same page, and Rondo's doing the best that he can in this kind of weird situation. But all the reports surrounding the team and the stuff about George Karl's job security, I think it's a troublesome situation. And the unfortunate part about this is that it was predictable. I mean, with all the drama that happened in the summer with DeMarcus Cousins and George Karl and the tweet that he sent out where he basically called his coach a snake in the grass, you sort of thought around that time that only one of them would still be in Sacramento when training camp started. And Vlade Divac, the vice president and general manager, he elected to bring both of them back. And when all this news broke last week about the trouble in Sacramento, I don't think anybody around the NBA was really surprised. And the Rondo thing is interesting because it's just sort of an issue of roster construction. Seth Curry is hurt right now. De'Aaron Collison is hurt right now. So they haven't been able to really have a true backup for him. But I think ideally you'd find somebody else to soak up a couple of minutes of point guard. I personally would probably try Marco Bellinelli there. But Carl doesn't have a ton of options at his disposal, and Rondo appears willing to put his body on the line like that.
James, we appreciate the rundown. Should be an interesting season, and I wonder how many games. I haven't looked at the Warriors' schedule yet, but do you see them losing anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. I would be a fool to bet on an upset happening in the near future based on the way that they're playing.
Appreciate your time, James.
Thanks so much for having me.